And so we've talked a lot over this last couple of weeks about being sons and daughters. We talked a lot about being sons and daughters and realizing who we are in God. We are no longer orphans. We're no longer slaves. We're no longer subject to sin anymore, but we're under grace instead of law. And of course we know we sin and we still make mistakes, but God's able to cover that with his incredible grace. He's washed us white as snow, and that will never change. And so God is with us. And so last week we talked about how, well, if we're sons and daughters, then it means we've got brothers and sisters. And sometimes that can be a bit of a pain, because there's nothing like brothers and sisters when they fall out, but there's nothing like brothers and sisters when they work together. They are an unstoppable force. And so hopefully we're still chewing on that. Hopefully we're still trying to work on that through God's strength. And we're trying to be kinder to each other, uplifting each other, praying for each other, and trying to make a difference in each other's lives. And so this morning, I'd like to take it another step further. And as sons and daughters, remind us of where we live now. Where we live now versus where we lived before. You see, this world has a kingdom. And this world has a leader. And he is not God. It is the enemy. It is the devil. And he is in charge in a sense. He is moving. He's manipulating. He is changing things. He's affecting things. But we as Christians this morning, we now live in a new kingdom. Even though we're still living in this one, we live in a new kingdom. And so this morning, God wants to remind us, you are new kingdom, new believers, even in this old world. But we're going to get to the new one, and it's going to be all revealed in the future. But in these moments and in this time, our job is to bring heaven to earth and transform the darkness with light. The Lord has called us out. He has called us out as his chosen, holy people. We're going to read some verses in just a few moments, but he has called us out. And this morning, what I'd love to remind us is this. Do not forget who you are. Do not forget what you've got at your disposal. If you were a superhero, you've got loads and many powers at your disposal. But you're not. You've got the Holy Spirit in you, which is even better. And he's able to distribute gifts as and when he pleases. He's able to do things that nobody else can do. He is an incredible friend. He is a person who sticks closer than a brother to us. The Holy Spirit makes the difference. And so this morning, I want to make us mindful. We're living in a new kingdom. But before we get to the new kingdom, we've got to remind ourselves of the old kingdom. Because maybe you're still there, or maybe you're still tending to live there. I want us to think for just a moment, that old kingdom. Think about it. The old kingdom was in charge by a terrible person, the devil, the enemy. His goal is what? To kill, steal, and destroy. It's not good. Doesn't matter how you even figure that out. Those words are not good. If your leader wants to kill, steal, and destroy from you, that is not good. He is a bad leader, and you're subject to that. And the Bible tells us that we were subject to sin. We were subject to bondage. We had no freedom. We had no cure. We had no solution. Every solution, every form that we came up with was not good enough. It wouldn't last. It wouldn't be able to stay. And then, of course, Jesus came and he changed everything. But before that, there was bondage. There was sin. There was no escape. I mean, the Bible even tells us that we were even shaped in sin. We were born in sin. That our very nature was woven with sin because of what Adam and Eve had done in the garden. The mistakes that they had made, the sin that had come into this world, it was never God's plan, it was never God's intention. But because our God is so good, he had a plan. I don't think he came up with it. He had a plan. And Jesus came and he set everybody free. And here's the thing, what the Lord was really speaking in my heart this week, is that we can be blood-bought, blood-washed, no longer sinners, but sons and daughters of Jesus. And yet, in some way, in some capacity, we're deciding to stay back in that old world, or we're trying to live in that old world, or we're trying to uphold those old systems, or we're trying to think that way, we're trying to talk that way, we're trying to act that way. And God says this morning, I want to continuously remind you, you are no longer a slave to sin any longer. You are no longer under the law, but you are a free man and you're a free woman if you are in Christ. And if you're not in Christ this morning, then the Lord says you are welcome to come. You are welcome to come to him. And so this morning we got to shake ourselves. We got to wake ourselves. Because I do not want another day to go past that we would forget that we're not in the kingdom of God. That we are not in the kingdom of God. We are in his kingdom, and so therefore everything is changed. And so I had a thought this morning, and I had a thought this last few days. I thought to myself, do I ever start to talk like before? Like, oh, nothing ever works out good for me. It's just going to be one of those days. It's just like, I've got nothing to hope for. I've got nothing that's coming my way. Why does nothing ever change for me? Why does nothing ever work for me? All of those things. Now tell me, are they words from the new kingdom or the old kingdom? I think they're words from the old. And I think sometimes we got to run a quick assessment, a quick self-assessment on ourselves and go, hold on a minute. Am I talking like the old man with that slave talk, that old mentality, that old thing? Because it is quite easy for us to slip into that simply because we live still in a broken world. But God says this morning, you have been transformed because of the cross. You've been washed white as snow. And so even on your worst day, you're transformed. You're a new believer. You're a new creation. God loves you with his whole heart. And so this morning, we need to remind ourselves, and we said it a few times, maybe we got to go Taylor Swift and shake it off, but we got to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. Because otherwise, that old man keeps wanting to tug, it keeps wanting to pull us down, wants to bring us 6 feet under again and say, hey, you're not alive, you're dead, you're like everybody else. But church, this morning, God says, what does he say? Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow after me. I'd love us to read this verse because I want to pull some extra truth out of it from what we've seen or thought of before. This is what it says in Matthew 16, 24. I think we've got the verse. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to come be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Now, I absolutely love this verse. It sounds hard, it sounds difficult, but I absolutely love this verse. And here's the extra part that God, I believe, wants to reveal into our hearts this morning, if you haven't seen it already. He's saying, if you don't make yourself mindful of the cross every day, you could end up going back and living like slaves again. If you don't take up your cross every day, it's not to hurt yourself, it's not to put yourself down, it's to make yourself mindful that that cross is light now. That cross is light now because the king died on it. And so as you pick it up, remember what has been paid for you. Remember what has been bought for you. Remember how your life has been transformed. And when the enemy comes to you and say, you're rotten, you're hopeless, you've got your cross on your back. You've got your cross on your shoulder, and you take a quick glance to it, and you say, no, 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 no. My Jesus is not on the cross. He has forgiven me. He has set me free, and I am transformed. And sometimes we need to raise our voice, because if we don't, there's another voice screaming at us that says, you're no good, you're hopeless, you're never going to make it. I tell you what, your friends are going to tell you that sometimes. Your employees or the people that you work with are going to tell you that sometimes. Don't be silly, that'll never work. Don't be silly, that'll never work. I want to give you another scripture from 1 John. It says this, 1 John 4:4, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You see, there's a voice out there that's shouting all of the time. Don't get too carried away. You don't be naive. Don't be silly. Don't be fool. Science is the way to go. God created science. Of course it's the way to go, but it's under Jesus. It's under Jesus. I mean, God is the way to go, and then everything else follows from that. And so this morning, guys, what are we going to do? We're going to pick up our cross. We're going to deny ourselves, and we're going to follow after Jesus. If you want to be his disciple, that's what you've got to do. That is not a tough task. That is an easy task because the cross has been won for us. Life has been transformed by us. And so when the enemy comes to scream at us, when the enemy comes to fool us, when the enemy comes to try to put us back down under again, we say no. We're in a new kingdom. I'm carrying my cross. I have denied myself because my old self wants to remind me of my old self. Even the person I am today sometimes wants to yearn and is eager to get back to before. But God says, no, you are a new creation. All things have been made new. And now you live in a new kingdom. And so church this morning, this is where we're going to go to for a few moments. We're going to step and remind ourselves of the new kingdom that we live in. We're going to remind ourselves of where we have found ourselves in Jesus, not about our works that we should boast, but because of all that he has done for me. And here's what God says this morning. If there is a new kingdom, look at this. Whatever he's getting paid, double it. It's zero, don't worry. We're saving for a new building. We're saving for a new building. We don't have money at all. So we are living in a new kingdom. And here's the good news about a new kingdom. If we're living in a new kingdom, we've got a new ruler. We've got a new king. And this morning, I'd love us to think about three key things for a moment. A new king, new rules, and new access. We are living in a new kingdom, and so therefore we have a new king. We are no longer subject to the law anymore that wants to hold us, that wants to condemn us, that wants to tell us that we're not right half of the time. But now we have a new king who's full of grace, who's full of forgiveness, who's full of mercy. Is that an excuse to sin? Absolutely not, because our king is too good. Our king is so good that that grace is inside of us through the Holy Spirit. And that grace allows us to stand in a better way than ever before. That grace allows me to stand even in my bad days. So a Monday comes and everybody else says, oh, it's Blimey Monday, whole week to go. We're excited because we're living in a new kingdom. We're excited because of what God has done for us. And we have a new king on the throne. The old king can try to come and whisper at us. The old king can come and try to taunt us, tease us, remind us of things. And we just look back at him and say, greater is he that's in me. Greater is he than me. He has transformed me. He has set me free. He has delivered me. When sickness comes, when trials come, when tribulation comes, we know our God, we're counting it all as joy. James tells us we're counting it all as joy because of what the Lord has done for us. See, God is simple. He knows we are simple people. He kept it simple. The only thing that makes it complicated is the multiple voices that want to come and invade our thinking every single day. But we just have to look to that cross on our shoulders and remind ourselves of what Jesus has done. I mean, here's a great way to start your day. Start your day with Jesus. Start your day with Jesus because he will remind you of who you are. Start your day with Jesus because he will remind you of what he has done for you. Start your day with Jesus because he will remind you of the purposes and the plans that he has got for you. And so we have a new king this morning. Let's think about it for just a moment. We have a new king. And the other thing I love about our king is that he is a hero. I love our king because he is a hero. He's like the hero in the story. I mean, maybe Disney got the words from the Bible, because in Disney it always starts off maybe okay, and then it goes wrong, and then it all gets back right again. I mean, it's the story of Jesus. It's just incredible. Now, our Jesus is not Disney. He's above all of that, but he's able to do exceedingly abundantly. He's able to turn the bad around for good. And the Lord is here this morning. He says, I am your ultimate hero. Here's the thing about the kingdom of God. It's an upside-down kingdom. The Bible tells us that the last will be first and the first will be last. Imagine that. Our first came for the last. Jesus was our first. He was our incredible one, our King of kings, our Holy of holies. And he came for the last, for the least of these, for the undeserving. That's who we were. That's not who we are now because of what Jesus has done. Imagine this. The king who's worthy of it all. Think about this for just a moment. The king who's worthy of it all looked down from heaven and said, those worthless ones, they're worthy. They're worthy of me, and I want to make them worthy. Church, this morning, we've got to be mindful of the voices that we listen to. We've got to be mindful of the things that we're putting in our hearts, because God says whatever's in your heart's going to come out through your mouth. Whatever's in your heart's going to be the way that you live. But the Lord is here this morning. He says, I have chosen to make you worthy. I am a worthy king. I'm worthy of it all, but I'm not insecure. I'm fully secure in who I am, and I have more than enough for you. And so I've chosen to make you worthy. And the Lord says, all you need to do is come to Jesus. Let him forgive, take away your sins. Let him forgive you. Let him transform your life. He makes you worthy, even in the midst of your mess. That is good news this morning, church. And maybe we need to shake it off and remind ourselves of that one. And remind ourselves of what the Lord has done, because he has transformed us. Our king is a hero. It's an upside down kingdom. He has transformed everything. And he's transformed to such an extent that he has changed everything, and he's made us stand. And the Bible actually says, Ephesians, just come to my heart, that we live in heavenly places with Christ. Imagine that for just a moment. We live in heavenly places with Christ. Even in this world, we're still with Jesus in some capacity. Even though he's not here with us, the Holy Spirit is here with us. Our king is absolutely incredible. Second thing about our king is that he's matchless. We've got to know this. And why have we got to know this? We've got to know this because if we don't think that he's matchless, then we'll have to find somebody else. We'll have to find something else. We'll have to find someone else. Because the Lord says, I am matchless this morning. Every other ruler, every other king was not good enough, but I am more than good enough. So you don't have to compromise with me. You don't have to go and find somebody else. You don't have to hedge your bets. You see, the old king, he's not able to supply all your needs. The old king, he just wants to kill, steal, and destroy. The old king wants to fool you. But our new king has got everything we have need of. He even knows our needs better than we know ourselves. He knows every single detail about us. And what does he say? Seek me, and you shall find. Knock at the door, and it will be open. Whatever you have need of, ask me, and I'll provide it for me. But stick with me. Stick close to me. Even when you step out in faith, or maybe even fear sometimes, the Bible tells us that he will draw close to us. God is here this morning. He is our matchless, undivided, limitless king, able to supply all of our needs. Trust me this morning, church, if you have placed your trust in him, you don't need to worry about anything else. You don't need to worry about trying to find somebody else. You don't need to worry about compromising. Do not live in two worlds, but stand firm in Jesus and go for him like nothing else, because he is our matchless, wonderful, incredible king. Third thing, many point about our new king, is that he is sovereign. He is sovereign over all things. Now, this sometimes can be a hard one to figure out. How is God sovereign? Sovereign just means that he's in total control. But how is he in total control? Do you know what I feel like the Holy Spirit revealed? And what I'd love to encourage us with this morning, that he's in such control that he actually says, I want to make you in my image. I want you to carry control to. I want you to carry freedom to. I want you to carry choice to. He said, I've given you power in your words, because whenever you speak, you can move mountains. Whenever you proclaim the good news, you can see people saved, just like me. Because the Lord is so assured in who he is, and he's so sovereign in all that he does, that he actively chooses to give us choices. He actively chooses to say, I want you to have dominion over things. I want you to have control over things. I want you to speak things up, encourage things. And we know this because we can read the verses over and over again that says there's life and death in the power of the tongue. In the tongue, we can build somebody up, or we can tear somebody down. In the tongue, what can we do? John 10:10. We can kill, steal, and destroy. Or we can give life and life abundantly. Which one are we going to choose? Which one are we going to decide? Our God is in control, but he says, don't leave it all up to me in the sense of you've got nothing to do. He says, I'm so much in control that I've placed some inside of you as well. Go and be my shining lights. Go and be my ambassadors. Go and extend the new kingdom into this whole world. And where does the new kingdom live? It lives inside of us. It lives inside of us. I heard a funny one this week, or maybe it's just funny for me. And it was this guy, and he said, hey, I love Jehovah Jireh, which is a name for God. It says he's a God who will provide. He says, I love Jehovah Jireh, but he says, in church, I've learned one thing. I've never seen one check that was signed Jehovah Jireh. It was always signed you, 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 or you. It was always through us, but God works through us. He's chosen us. He works through us. And so, church, this morning, we've got to know that we stand in a new kingdom. We have a new king. He has changed things, and he has given us freedom and choice and words and powers and the things that it can do. Psalm 135 says this. I love this verse. It says, whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth and in seas and in all deep places. He's never lost control. He's all powerful. He sustains all things. He is for you. That is good news this morning. He is absolutely for you. And if we've got a new king, then it means we've got new rules. And I want to fly through just a few this morning. If we've got a new king, then we've got new rules. And it's important for us to know the rules so that we can be rule breakers in this world, to break all the old rules and bring in the new rules. Here's one of the biggest rules that the new kingdom brings. It's blessing upon blessing upon blessing. It's just blessing in the midst of storms. It's blessing in the midst of dark seasons. It's blessing when it makes no sense. It's blessing every single day because God can't do anything else. He's a blessing God. He gives out, he pours out, and he always pours out more than enough because he blesses us far and above all that we could ask or think. He's a God who heals. And why is he a God who heals? He's a God who heals because he had never intended it any other way. He never intended it any other way. When we were placed in the garden, we were placed in a perfect kingdom. But then sin messed it up. He loves to heal because he wants to get us back to the freedom. He loves to heal because he wants to get us back to how he intended. When Jesus came, what did he say? He says, I've come as another Adam, but I've come as a good Adam. I've come to correct all the mistakes that have been made. I've come to transform things. I've come to change things. And so when God came into our hearts and God came into our lives, what did he do? He healed us of our sin. He took away our sin. He transformed us. What is he doing every day? He is healing us. He's taking us from glory to glory. He is a healing God. It says that there's healing in his wings. Sometimes we need to hide under his wings. We hide under his shadow because that's where his presence is, and that's where sometimes we need to be. It says when he's on the cross in Isaiah that by his stripes we are healed. There's just healing that pours forth from him. He is a healing, incredible, transformational God. It's new rules because in this life, there's no such thing as healing outside of medicine. With the kingdom, in the new kingdom, there's healing at the mention of his name. There's healing as we would pray for people. And church, I want to encourage you this morning. I want to remind you this morning that part of us bringing the new kingdom is bringing the new rules, and it's reminding people that we can pray and believe and see people healed in Jesus' name. And the Lord does good things. Trust me, the enemy wants to heal as well, but he doesn't heal the same way. He always takes away. He always does something else. He always robs us because, again, he kills, he steals, and destroys. But God always gives far and above. New rules of the kingdom, and this can be a hard one sometimes, is that there's got to be forgiveness. There's got to be forgiveness in this new kingdom. Whenever we came to Christ, we had to ask for forgiveness. If we want to live as new kingdom, New Testament believers in a new covenant, then forgiveness has got to be part of our DNA. Everywhere we go, we got to be people that are people of forgiveness, extending forgiveness, even in the most difficult circumstances. And when we can't extend forgiveness, don't worry. Ask Jesus to help you. Ask God over a period of time. Ask him to make you more than an overcomer in that area so that you can show forgiveness, that you can offer forgiveness. Who cares if you don't get it back? You're giving it because that's the rules of the new kingdom, and that's what Jesus showed us, and we want to be absolutely like him. Another quick rule is breakthrough. If we're in the new kingdom, there's breakthrough. We saw breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough in the building with our finances. Every week something was changing. Every week something was transforming. Remember, guys, it's only a few weeks ago. We started off in July looking like crazy men and women. Or maybe it was just me saying we're going to raise $175,000. And people say, it can't be done. And Jesus was like, if you got faith as a mustard seed, as small as that, it can be done. It can be done. And so, church, this morning, we've got to be careful. What are we speaking? What are we going after? What are we going for? Is it breakthrough or strongholds? I want to break through. I want to break strongholds in Jesus' name. I want to break through in his name. I want to see things changed. I want to see things. There's freedom. There's all lots of extra things, and we don't have time this morning to go to them. But here's one that just changed the game forever. Luke 6:35. We got this verse. We're going to put it up. But love your enemies. What? Love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil man. This is an incredible, incredible verse that probably a large portion of us would like to delete out because it's just too hard. But God says this morning, you got to wrestle with this verse. You got to wrestle with this verse because it is difficult to love your enemies. And if it's difficult to love them, it's even harder to lend to them. And if it's difficult to lend to them, it's even harder to say, well, I'll probably lend that and I'll probably never get it back. But what does God say? If you will be sons of the Most High. See, there's something hanging on it. There's our identities hanging on this. Because part of the new kingdom as new believers, as new Christians in a new covenant with new rules is that we live by the new rules that have been set by heaven. And in heaven, there is forgiveness unconditionally for those who turn from repentance. But even for those who don't turn to repentance, there has to be prayer for them. There has to be love for them. There has to be praying for them because we know that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. We know that when we pray for those, even if they're evil, even if they're downright whatever, but we got to pray because that's what Jesus would do. And maybe through our prayers, the King of Kings would come and the new kingdom would invade the old kingdom and a person's life would be transformed. But it starts with this, love your enemies and do good. That's incredibly, incredibly hard. And if someone's here today and they've got it down, come and teach us quick. Come and teach us quick what you've done. I think there's no way to activate that verse outside of yourself. I think, outside of the Holy Spirit, sorry. There's no way to activate that verse in yourself. It's just too hard. It's just too difficult. It's too much against our nature. It's too much against what we were born into and what we do. I can only do that through Christ who strengthens me. I can only do that through him. So, church, how are we getting on with that verse? How are we getting on if we're honest, if we're truthful? No condemnation in Christ. But how are we getting on with that verse? Because that will determine our identity. Imagine, by not activating that verse, it can actually rob us of our sonship or part of it. Part of our identity in Christ is finding this, loving your enemies, do good to them, lend to them, expecting nothing in return, but don't worry, there'll be a great reward for you in heaven, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Jesus has already set the standard. He has already set the example. He just says, follow after me. Remember, we're dead men and women. We've taken up our cross. We've denied ourselves, and we're following after Jesus. Because if I don't, I'll fall back into the old world, the old systems, the old thinking. But I am a new creation in Christ in a new kingdom. Church, this morning we're looking forward to that new kingdom day when we go to be with Christ forever. But up until then, our job, our calling, our design is to bring that kingdom here and now through the way that we live, through the actions that we take, through the ways that we think, through the words that we speak. Church, this morning, we are here to be living, breathing ambassadors for Christ, to be Jesus himself here on the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. How are we getting on? Lord wants to encourage us this morning. He wants to challenge us this morning. He wants to lift us up. Third thing, if we have new rules and we've got a new king, then we've got new access and we've got new authority. Wisdom. This is what it says in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to you. One of the great gifts of the new kingdom is wisdom. One of the great gifts of the new kingdom is wisdom. Now, in the natural sense, the only way to get wisdom is experience. It's the only way. It's the only way to get wisdom, is that someone older than you maybe translates some wisdom from before, and we go, you don't even know what you're talking about. I'm going to do it better than you. So that's one way, but we don't usually take that. And the other way is that we just got to live a long life, and then by 70 we realize those old boys were right. I should have listened to them. I should have listened to those ones. But God is here this morning. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask for it. We can ask for it, and supernaturally, in this new kingdom, in the life that we have in Christ because of the Holy Spirit inside of us, he will deposit wisdom in our lives and in our hearts. Who's needing a bit more wisdom? I think all of us are needing a bit more wisdom. Why? Not because we're stupid. Not because we're silly. Maybe we are. Maybe I am. But because we live in difficult, difficult days where we're not sure what's right or what's wrong. I mean, we're hearing about it over and over again, about fake news. We can't even trust the news anymore. Maybe we never could, but it seemed like we could to some extent, and now we're just not sure what to trust because everyone's online so fast, it's not verified, it's not checked out as much, and so we're just swamped and overwhelmed by all this kind of information. We're not sure what to do next. And God says, if anybody lacks wisdom, ask for it. He will deposit it into our hearts. Anybody need wisdom this morning? Colossians 3:16. We love John 3:16. This is another one we got to love. Can we bring it up, guys, if we have it? Hopefully. If not, there we go. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, wisdom again, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. See, part of the new access, part of the new authority is not only wisdom, but it's the word. We cannot forget the word. If we forget the word, we'll lose our identity in Christ. We'll not lose it in the sense of losing it like we're thinking, but we'll forget who we are. We'll forget who we are because the word reminds us of who we are. What is the word? I believe it's a love letter from the King of Kings to us. It's a love letter from Jesus to us to say, you're a called out people. You're a chosen people. There's greater things in you. You can do this. You can speak to the demons, they'll flee. You can speak to the dead, they'll be raised up. You can pray for the lame, they'll walk again. You can pray for blind eyes, they'll open again. You can walk into dark places and not be scared because though you walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will fear no evil because he is with me. I need the word because the word reminds me of him who is the word. It says that Jesus is the word. It says in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and it dwelt among us, Jesus Christ. We cannot forget about the word. And church, I want to encourage you, if you've forgotten about the word, if you're finding it difficult, is it any wonder? There's spiritual forces at work. They're looking to derail you, looking to kill, steal, and destroy. We've got to get back into the word as best you can. Maybe it's in the morning just listening to an audio Bible. Maybe it's just your favorite verse coming up every day. Maybe it's just UCB notes, but you've got to get into the word because the word transforms us. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will cut through things that we're not sure of. It will cut through things. I'll tell you the one thing I love about the word, and it's one thing that God has really taught me over the years, is out of the many times that I've had the privilege and the honor to speak, is that my words, as good as they may be sometimes, will never, ever be remembered. But his words, there's just something special about his words. They just cut through things. They just speak to people's hearts. They just transform things. And at the end of the message, someone's going to remember a verse. They're not really going to remember me. And they're going to forget me, but they're never going to forget him because his word never returns to him void. You got to understand the church. The devil wants to blind us over the word. The devil wants to make the word awkward to get to. It can be difficult at times. It can be hard to understand at times. There's many other options to get into. But if you're a new kingdom, New Testament believer, living fully in the new kingdom, you've got to know what the word says because the word just keeps us on track. It's our love letter from heaven. It says to us, remember who you are. Remember what you've got. Remember what you can do. Do not let all this other information cloud our vision from Facebook and all these things. I love all of those tools, but I want to know what the word says. I want to know what the word says because it's going to transform me. It's going to cut through a lot of stuff. So church, this morning, hold fast to our word. It's an incredible access. It's an incredible authority that God has given us. Discernment, third thing. Paul prays this in Philippians 1:9, and it's my prayer that your love may abide more and more with knowledge and discernment. Again, wisdom and discernment go hand in hand. God wants to give us discernment today so we can tell the difference between good and bad, so we can stand forward, so we can reach forward, so we can move forward. God wants to give us that kind of discernment. He wants to give us power today. Love this verse in Luke 24:49. And behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. See, in this new kingdom, there's power beyond measure. There's power beyond measure because the Lord knows we need this power. We need him to help us. And so if you're here this morning and you need his power, just enclothe yourself again. Put on his clothes. Put on that full armor again. Remind yourself of the power that God has given you, and he's able to break through into those spiritual things that would come against you. He's able to break through into those challenges, those trials, and anything else that would try to rob you of your victory in God. And we got the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at him in the next few weeks, so I don't want to take away from that, but I want to tell you this. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is at our peril that we forget about the Holy Spirit and his importance. It is at our peril that we would forget about how important he is and how much we need him. Everything today we're talking about will be accessed through the Holy Spirit. How to get to Jesus? Through the Holy Spirit. He convicts us of our sins. He leads us to Jesus. He's the promise who was to come. When Jesus left, he said, don't miss this. Wait for this. Hang out here. Don't leave this building until you get the promise. He is a promise. He is a guide. He is a friend. He is an advocate. He is a strength. He is a power. He is incredible, absolutely incredible. And I'm going to encourage your heart in the next few weeks to come on him, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. But God is here this morning, and he said, we are in a new kingdom, and we live under new rules. I want us to finish off with a couple of quick questions, or a couple of quick thoughts. It says this, every day we need to remember who we are. I want us to read 1 Peter 2:9. It says, you are a chosen generation. This is who we are. It's not who anybody else is. Just put ourselves in this. It's easy to put somebody else in here, but put ourselves in this. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. This is the new kingdom. This is who we are in Christ. We have been called out. We have been chosen. We have been set apart. And we step forth into this marvelous light because there is a marvelous light inside of me. Everywhere I go, I bring that light. And so, church, this morning, we got to remind ourselves of who we are. How do we do that? We get into the Word in the morning. If we can't get into the Word in the morning physically, in terms of a book or in the iPod, then we pray on the way to work in the car. Let's get practical for just a moment. We've got to put good principles in place. Otherwise, we'll be forgetful and we'll forget who we are. So maybe we're driving in the car, I'm praying. Maybe I'm just getting ready in the morning, I'm just thinking about something. Just wherever we find ourselves, we're just turning to God so that it becomes a default. My relationship with him is always growing. My relationship with him is always intact. I've got to remind myself of who I am. Otherwise, I'll forget. And if I forget, then I cannot be a new kingdom believer because I'll forget to extend. I'll forget to reveal. I'll forget to break the rules. I'll forget to talk differently. I'll forget to show love in the wrong places that everybody else would show it. I'll forget to love my enemies. I'll forget to make a difference. And I think one of the best ways that the enemy works is forgetfulness, by making us supremely busy. I think one of the best ways that the enemy works is trying to make us forget things. He distracts us with this, distracts us with that, because he doesn't want us to remember who we completely are, because who we are frightens him to death, because it's a constant reminder of my time is limited, my time is up. God is here this morning. He says, you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people. Every morning I wake up. Every morning he transforms me. Every morning I break the rules as I go day to day because I'm mindful of the new rules that I carry. And here's the final question that I love to leave in our hearts this morning. Here's the final question I'd love to put into our hearts that we would remind ourselves every day. Maybe we need to put a text reminder alert on our phones. Maybe we need to set an automatic email up. Whatever you need to do.